Amen. You can make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you're going to make it. Say, it ain't bad as what you think. Say, it's not bad as what you think.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all.
But notice when you find favor. And I just throw this out parenthetically and quickly because I got more to deal with, so I won't be able to go. But you find favor after verses 1, 2, and 3. So all you do is walk back through those three verses and find those things in there, and you'll see that favor comes after those things. Verse 4 continues, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. See, now when you get favor, that's only a part of it. Don't stop at favor. Because if you got favor, don't have good understanding. You can have a whole lot and not know how to do a whole lot with what you got. Good understanding means that you are able to apply the favor and the principles both before God and man, which means that you're blessed in both the spiritual or the supernatural arena and the natural, which means that you know how to go in before God, but you also know how to go before men, which means that you know how to operate in the spiritual realm, but you know how to operate in the natural realm. You can't be so spiritual good that you're, you know, no earthly good. You can't be so earthly good that you're no spiritual good. You've got to have a balance, and this verse teaches us favor and good understanding in a balanced term. You know, there are some folk who are so holy it makes us sick. You know, something is wrong. Don't get me wrong. The essence of God ought to be in your conversation, ought to be in your walk, ought to be in your talk, ought to be in everything you do. But everything you do ain't got to be shrouded in this mysterious voice. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Yes, I went to the mall, praise the Lord, and bought me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. I saw. Oh, I got a sale. Thank you, gee. I didn't have a 20. Oh, praise the Lord. It ain't got to be all of that, baby. You know what? The Lord spoke to my spirit. Just told me, go on down. That was a, I didn't know that was no sale. My funds were low. You know, I don't like cheap stuff. You can buy good stuff at cheap prices if you listen to the spirit. And the person on the side of you paying full price for something you got almost a third or better off on, they're looking good, feeling good, and you're looking good and feeling good, and they ain't paid nowhere near what they paid for. That's God, baby. The woman that came before you had the money to buy it, but it wasn't in her size. Y'all not hearing me here.
And you said, Lord, I can't afford it now, but hold it till sale day come. And you walk rightly before God and you go back. God reminds you, this is the last one. It's time to go on and get that thing. And you get, I'm trying to help somebody. When you walk in favor and good understanding is you got to know how to walk in your season. Walk in it. And a whole lot of us don't understand that favor is just one part of it. Good understanding is knowing how to walk in it, how to operate in it. And so listen again, because it says, and good understanding in the sight of God, conjunction, and joining them together, man. Doesn't have to be independent of each other. In other words, if you got it good with God, that don't mean that you can't have it good with man. Jesus grew in favor and in stature both with God and man. Here, again, is a paradigm. Here is an example. Here is a picture of how it is to be done. Favor is a powerful thing because it is God who grants it to you, just like grace that you don't always deserve. But when it is upon your life, God calls those who come in contact with your life not to so much see you, but the favor that he has placed upon your life. So that's why verse 5 is in the word. And look at what this verse says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart means the wholeness of your heart, meaning no place for doubt, no place for disbelieving, no place for wavering. But if you trust him, you don't doubt. If you doubt, you don't trust him. If you believe he's going to do it, don't worry about how he's going to do it. The end result is I'm holding on to he's going to do it. Now, here's what I've got to understand. I stop trusting in God when I start trying to figure out what he's going to do. He's already told me his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. They are so far different from each other that there is nothing in me that can conceive the awesomeness of God's thought processes. So why am I going to rack my peon brain trying to think of the stuff that God can do when he can do some stuff that ain't been thought of yet? So I lay up at night trying to figure out the answer when God already has the answer. And instead of turning my problems over to him, trusting in him and knowing that he's got this thing fixed, I try to come to some conclusion myself, try to syllogistically deduce from cause to effect. And when it doesn't line up and it doesn't come out right, then I'm stuck like Chuck trying to figure out why the Lord ain't revealing this to me. The reason he ain't revealing it to you is because you ain't got to do it. He's got to do it. You're taking time from praising him trying to analyze the problem. Some of us got a serious, serious problem. It's called paralysis of analysis. You spend more time thinking about the problem than you do giving God the praise. When it gets to the point where you can't figure it out and you've turned it over to him and you know he's going to work it out, all that time you would have been trying to figure it out, you ought to engage that in pre-praise. Why am I pre-praising him? Because I know he's going to do it. He promised me that he would do it. And so I am committed to believing and trusting him. And as I do that, I understand how to walk in favor and good understanding of what God desires. Do you know faith stirs God up? Listen, the worse things look to you, the more you ought to lean on the Lord. And the more you lean on the Lord, the better things will start looking, because you'll have a different perspective. Because what God literally does is he starts letting you see what he sees. And you're going to be surprised that what you see isn't what God sees. But when you turn it over to the Lord lifts your spirits to the point where while you can't always figure it out, he starts putting a piece in you saying it's already worked out. And when he tells you in your spirit it's already worked out, little bit by little bit, he starts showing you how it all unfolds. Have I got a witness in the house who know what I'm talking about? See, but you can only experience this if you trust him. Because trust him means that you ain't depending on nobody else, including yourself. Trust in the Lord with all thine your heart. Now, here's the next part. That, if you get past that hurdle, here's the next one. conjunction, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, I keep telling you, if it's the same thinking that got you in the stuff, how do you propose that with that same thinking, you're going to get out the stuff? See, what you don't understand is that whatever it is you think you can do or can be done is limited to your finite, your limited access to information, situation, experiences, or input. Over and against an infinite God who has all wisdom, all knowledge, all experience, all understanding, who can do some stuff that's never been done before. See, what you got to realize is the reason why you might not see your answer is because he ain't created it yet. I'm trying to help somebody here. The reason why you hadn't seen what God wants for you yet, it might be because it doesn't exist yet. And because you trust God, he's only going to bring it into fruition and manifestation when he's ready to deliver it to you. But if there is a need for a preview, he's going to meet you in the spirit realm to show you what it is he's got for you. But that's only going to happen if you trust him with your whole heart. All your heart. Lean not. It's your own understanding that enters that realm of doubt. Well, what if the Lord don't do this? Well, what if this don't happen when I need it? Well, what is? When I know so and so and they didn't have. Your own understanding is what got you in the problems and situations you're in right now. It is incapable of being compared to what God offers. And notice what he goes on to say. In all thy ways. In all thy ways. God says, take the limitations off of him. I operate in more than just the sacred. I operate in the secular also. I can operate in church, but I can operate on your job. I can operate in this family. I can operate in your family. I can operate in our relationship. I can operate in your relationship. I can operate in our finances. I can operate in your. Listen, take the limitations off of God in all thy ways. Listen to this. I can promise you without knowing your name, your rank, or your serial number, that every problem you got right now, you got it because you lean to your own understanding. I can promise you every mistake you've made without knowing the mistakes that were made because you leaned to your own understanding and you did not acknowledge God. Or if you acknowledged him, you did not wait for the answer. Or if you heard the answer, you did not acquiesce to the answer. You did not adhere to the answer. You did not obey the answer. In other words, if you messed up and are messed up 9 out of 10 times, it's because of you, not because of God. Have I got any witness in the building? When you look back over your life and see the good, you're going to see God somewhere around there. When you look back over your life and see the bad, you're going to see God ain't nowhere around there. God ain't in a whole lot of stuff we try to fix to him. And then this is the thing that gets me when we're going to tell the Lord, Lord, if you want me to do this, now you done already planned to do it. You done made your reservation, made your plans. You done got your stuff together and all the rest of that. And then you're going to say, now, Lord, if you don't want me to do it, then you start saying, well, if he didn't want me to do it, he wouldn't have let me do it. I asked him if he didn't want me to do it, don't let it happen. Well, God gives you His word. His word is His will. His will is His way. So what you don't understand is, before you say God didn't stop you, go back to the word and check and see what He had to say about it in His word. Because I got news for you. He's never going to speak anything different in your spirit that He has not already first spoken in His word. That's the way He confirms His word, by His word, be it written form or spoken form. If God says anything different from what is written in the record, then I know it ain't God, it's an angel of light trying to change himself, make me believe God is in that mess. But I got news for you. I don't care how you sweeten the mess up, cover the mess up, dress the mess up. If God ain't in it, it's just mess. It might smell like a good mess now. It might look like a good mess now. It might be dressed up like a God, dressed down like, but it's still. Oh, touch somebody and say, you're not a mess, are you? And see, those who ain't asked that question, they know they're a mess. They know it's eating them all up right now. Like, I wish He would move on. Move on. All right. Look at this word again. In all thy ways, removing limitations from God, removing chains from God to move and operate in your life, acknowledge Him. You know, some of us acknowledge Him when it's big stuff, when it's a big problem or a big need or a big situation, we acknowledge Him. But I got news for you. The word says, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. If I start acknowledging God in every decision I make, every day your life is filled with choices and decisions. Every day, multiple decisions and choices. And every one of those choices and decisions, the record says, you ought to acknowledge God. Now, I would be lying if I told you every day I did that, but I am working on that consciously, and all of us ought to be working because we are human beings. ING, the continual operation of process. I am yet here, but I have not yet become all I'm going to be. So I am in the process of being. I want you to understand that as a child of God, and James says, when you know better, you ought to. It's a continual growth of processing information and then operating in the information process. And it is something you've got to consciously do. Because just because you know it don't mean that your flesh is going to do it. Have I got a witness? How many of us know right and did wrong today? If the speed limit said 40 and you did 45, you did wrong today. I won't be late. You should have got up earlier. I won't miss my seat. I don't want to have to sit in the overflow. I understand all of that. But breaking laws to try and correct actions that you didn't do properly is not going to make it end up right. I mean, you know, let's say you make a decision. You say, Lord, you know, this body is your temple. It's the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I want to get it back in order. It ain't a temple no more. I want to turn this physique back into a physique. And so every day when I get up, then I say, well, Lord, you know, after I talk with Him and so forth, I say, now, what should I eat for breakfast? Well, one of the things that God's going to tell you, you've got to get knowledge, and knowledge-based thinking helps you to process stuff. Once you get knowledge as a knowledge base, you don't have to keep going back seeking knowledge. You have it, now you operate in it. So then you know what's healthy to eat for breakfast. You know what's healthy to eat for lunch. You know what's healthy to eat for dinner. And so then when you begin to operate in that, you say, Lord, what should I have? Now, I won't some greasy, crisp, fried bacon. I want them grand biscuits because I'm grand. I want some of them big, large, 2, 3, 4 of them eggs, and I want all that. But that ain't going to help my issue here. Amen. See, that's why you know you got an eating problem when you get up from breakfast and won't go get back in bed. Some of you looking like, there you go, there you. And some wife like, preach, pastor, preach. Or some husband like, pastor, say it again. I can't say it, but you can say it, pastor. Say it, pastor. But I'm just simply saying, you say, well, you know, is it really necessary that I include him in all these little bitty diseases? And when you understand how the enemy takes the essence of life, the quality of life away from you, you already know, I've gone through this again. Smoking is hazardous to your health. But studies show that people who don't even smoke, if they are around you, are at equal or greater risk than you. So when you light up a cigarette in your house, you killing you and everybody in your house. When you are there doing what you're doing, you got to realize that all of your decisions don't just affect you, they affect others around you. So does it make sense that you acknowledge God, seek God about that? Yes. Because God's going to speak to your spirit out of your knowledge base and begin to convict you according to what you know. So that's why he says people err and they perish for lack of knowledge. Somebody said, if you won't keep people ignorant, just write it down. So you ain't never told me nothing. I wrote it down. You didn't read it? It's written. And we depend too much many times on insufficient and inadequate sources for our information. The word will give us wisdom to seek out every knowledge base at its purest form to make the most intelligent decisions led by the Spirit of God. And he does that when we give him our attention and we ask his advice about every situation. You wouldn't have half the problems you have right now if you asked God and waited for the answer and obeyed it. Half the things that I've had to regret in my life came because I did not acknowledge him. All of the things, whether we would admit them, own up to them or not, God says if you acknowledge him, listen at this, he shall, without a doubt, with certainty, he shall direct your, look at that last word, P-A-T-H-S, plural. That means it's not just spiritual, but it means every area your feet trod in, God will direct them. But he will not direct them if you don't acknowledge him. When you ask and consult people for information, for advice, God should be the top of your list. And I got news for you. When you learn to trust him and get his advice, you stop learning to depend on other folks' advice. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with asking people, especially godly people, who can back up their advice with the word. With the word. Because if you ask advice from a bitter person, guess what you're going to get? Bitter advice. And so you got to make sure that your source isn't tainted, but that it has the pure essence of truth. And that is found in the word. And anyone that's advising you ought to be advising you from the word. So it's not really them, but God directing them to show you what he has said. And simple obedience to that will yield you the blessings and the bounty and the benefit that God wants to bring into your life. Shouting and running and jumping and clapping is wonderful, especially when you got something to do that for. But too many Sundays I see people come in here hurting, come in here torn up, needing answers, needing direction, needing guidance, and God is speaking, but because he doesn't do it the way they want him to do it, they don't acknowledge him, and they leave out here the same way, or even worse, because they have turned down the counsel of God because it didn't sound like what they wanted to hear. And my brothers and sisters, the way that you get to verse 9 here, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruit of all thine increase. And then verse 10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine, is because of the verses that precede that. All of us want the blessings, but we don't want to learn the lessons. And it's imperative that you understand it and you put it into practice, because God is the one who's in control of your blessings, not man. Yes. Not man. Do you know there are some people that are in your present circle? If they could take your blessings from you, they'd take them. But aren't you glad they can't do nothing about it? All they can do is hinder their own blessings. Listen. God who gives you peace, God who gives you joy, God who gives you increase, God is the one who's in control of all of it. So if God is in control of it, then nothing and nobody can take it or shift it or shake it unless God permits it. And let me say this parenthetically, if he permits it, it's only because he's trying to get you to another place. He's trying to get you to understand where it is he wants you to go. Sometimes we get so comfortable on one level and God's trying to get us to another. It references and refers back to the book where God is like the eagle stirring up the nest, teaching those eaglets how to fly. Why? Sometimes God needs to bring you to another level where you're not trying to go. But he knows if you don't go to another level, you become stagnant, stale, and you begin to stink on that level because you're not productive. And so as a result of that, you're not blessed, nor is the kingdom of God blessed fully the way God wants to bless you and through you bless his kingdom. One more moment. If God is blessing you, it is not for you to stack and store your blessings. It is for you to share your blessings. When you share your blessings as a vessel and vehicle of God, God gets glory. If God gets the glory through you, he's going to increase your goods so he can get increased glory. It's a cycle that continues. When you understand the source, there is no cutoff of the supplies. But when you start not knowing, remembering, or acknowledging your source, then the supplies are going to run out. And they're always designed to bring us back to the source. To the source. If in the natural sense your job is your source, quit working and see won't the paycheck stop. Does that make any sense? But if you get up every day and go to work, you off on your days, on your off day, and you relax and do, but every day that's work day, you get up and go, those paychecks gonna keep on coming. And just like those paychecks keep on coming, then you have the liberty to do what is qualitative living as you see fit according to the word of the Lord. It's just a good thing to be able to have what God wants you to have and know that God is pleased with you having it. I don't care nothing about nobody hating on me no more. Because I began to realize if they had anything to do with it in the first place, I wouldn't have it anyhow. And if they're hating, that means they ain't supporting. So since you ain't supporting, it don't matter what you say. Because if you stop doing what you're doing, which is nothing, think you hurting nobody but yourself. Because if you had sense, you'd want to get some of this I got by the way that I got it, so you can have it and you can stop hating, complaining. I think we ought to be able to, listen, I'm dressed like this today because of the children, but every now and then those of the haves ought to just humble themselves and walk like the have-nots so we can remain grateful and thankful for the good. Because see, sometimes when the Lord keep blessing us, we get bigoted and arrogant and act like we've been there, but we can't ever go back there. Nah, the same ladder you went up, if you're not careful, you can come back down. And the only problem is the same folk you met on your way up will be laughing and mocking and right there to do the harm to you on your way down. I wish I had a witness in the house. So I want you to know, when I was in my hoopty, I praised him and waved at folk in my hoopty. But now as I ride in